All right. So you guys can sit down. I need all the kids. Kids, come on up here. And the whole Jones clan is wiped out with the flu. And so kids, come on up. Good, good. All right, you guys, what's going to happen this week on Thursday?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, that's right. And so I'm going to ask you one thing that you're thankful for, okay? One thing that you're thankful for, okay? Got it in your mind? You ready? All right, we'll start with Emma.
Food.
Food. She's thankful for food. Nice. All right, Ethan.
Today.
You're thankful for what?
Today.
Today. Thankful for today. Right. Daniela.
Food.
Food. Why are these skinny kids so thankful for food? Man. All right. Evie, what are you thankful for?
My mom.
Your mom. We're thankful for your mom, too, because all the stuff she does and helping you guys sing. Aria, what are you thankful for?
Family and friends.
Family and friends. Nice. Thanks. Addie, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my family.
For your family. Me, too. Because you know what? Your family next week is going to start off Advent season for us. You're going to get to light the candle and do a reading and stuff. She's like, I don't know what that is. All right. Emmett, come here, because I don't want to go in front of that speaker.
My family.
Your family. Hey, how come you didn't bring your little sister up to hear what she's thankful for? She would have said, right? Okay, now here's the bonus, you guys. It's you guys get to go now and practice for the pageant that's coming up on December 22nd? 22nd. They're doing the kids' pageant, and we're going to have birthday cake for Jesus on that day. I know a lot of you heard half of that announcement and thought we're having cake this week. No cake. The cake is a lie. All right, so you guys can head and practice. We're so excited. Go out, follow Janelle. There she is. You got it. And so this morning's kind of different. We're going to hear from you. And so while Chelsea comes up to get settled here at the microphone, Roland and I have microphones. And I'm going to take this side. Roland's going to take that side. And we'd like to hear from a few of you briefly. Okay, briefly, because you're the ones with the roasts in the oven. What you're thankful for, just put a hand up and Roland and I will find you. Let's take two. Here's Jan. You got Holly.
We are very thankful for the medical profession. Phil's extended stay in the hospital this summer just made us aware of how far and wide you can receive help. His cultures were sent to the Mayo Clinic, to Dana-Farber, and that's where we got our answers. So we're very thankful for the medical profession who are involved in the medical profession.
Thankful for the medical profession, Phil's health, and the people here in the medical profession. Holly.
I am thankful for all of the children that we have in this church and for my niece and nephew who adopted two, 3.5 years ago and a year ago. They adopted a baby girl and a baby boy. Right from the birth mothers in the hospitals, and they came home, and she said that my family's now complete. But I am thankful for all of our children that God gives us because they are such a precious, precious gift to us.
I can't reach. There we go. Hi. I have backup.
Yep.
When Scott asked if I wanted to talk about what I was thankful for today, I was spoiled for choice. Obviously, like the obvious ones, this one and this one. My home that is safe and warm, and all the medical care I've received in the last couple of years that Mary's received and that we're both still here. The mail system, which is kind of a random one that I was reminded of. a couple weeks ago when I asked Scott if I could mail something to Tanya, his granddaughter in Guatemala, and learned that it would never get to her and that I take the mail system here for granted. Cream cheese, it's my favorite food. So like, I could go on for, you know, as much breath as I have in my body about all the things to be grateful for. But the thing that came to mind today was that even if all of that went away, I am thankful that I would have hope in the presence and promises of God. And sometimes for me, it really is only hope. Some of you all have this, I think they would call it a mature faith, is what I've heard, where you're unflappable. I'm like at 90% flap at all times. my faith is usually more like the faith of a toddler that reaches for a parent, hoping that they'll pick them up, but also screaming and crying and having no idea what's going on. But I think of how much lonelier the lowest points in my life would have felt if I didn't have anyone to reach for. So, you know, in this life we will have trouble, but the promise is that we're never alone in it and that we always have someone to reach for. So I am thankful for that.
You can have a seat again. We're getting a workout today. Jen is, while Jen's making her way up to share with us, we need a couple more. What are you thankful for? Roland and I are ready. Where's that hand?
Up here.
Up here. All right.
As many of you know, Heidi had her second knee surgery Thursday. She's doing very well. She's resting at home and she's watching online this morning. And she asked me to read something for her. She says, "I'm thankful for all those years I thought were wasted and gone. Those years carved me into who I am today. I'm using those scars and hurts to help others, and they created me into the woman Tom needs and desires. Also, they prepared me to accept and trust him so healing could continue. Also, I'm thankful for such a close-knit church family where God's love and care are given to one another, no matter your situation or where you've been. And personally, I want to thank God for bringing Heidi into my life. I also am thankful very much for my two kids, Cam and Kristen. I'm also very much thankful for this church family and for being able to serve and help you all worship each Sunday. So thank you.
Got one over here.
I'm thankful for a God that loves me, for a God that's gotten me through many trials and tribulations in my life. I am thankful for a family that wanted me to come nearer to them and my beautiful grandchildren, and I'm thankful for a very full life that I have at this time.
Hi, I'm Jen. And I'm a breast cancer survivor. But my story's gonna start in 2021. My mom, what?
Oh,
you gotta, good.
Because we need to hear.
You need to hear this story.
We need to hear your story.
I wonder if I have a tissue ready.
There is, right?
There we go. Okay. Hi, I'm Jen. I'm still a breast cancer survivor. And I can see better without you. My story is going to start in 2021 because my mother was also a breast cancer survivor for 10 years, but she passed in 2021 of breast cancer. Mom was my foundation, my roommate, and my best friend. I paid her the rent, and she paid the utilities and bought the toilet paper and made us supper when I got home from work. So I lost a lot after she passed. I had to deal with the will and with lawyers and with paying utilities and buying toilet paper. I was very alone and by myself. Fear took me for a crazy ride. And that was 2021. 2022, but I, like my mom, I knew the church had people who would help me. So I turned to the church. I made friends, I joined groups, I learned about loneliness, and I mourned the loss of my mother. And that was 2022. 2023, Job 2:4, skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. I was diagnosed with cancer in early 2023, and I was alone. I was afraid. I needed more than what my church family could give me. I needed the firm foundation, the rock. I started talking to God, and he became my co-pilot. As a professional driver, he was in the passenger seat, and I often drive holding his hands. I told him what I thought of cancer, and I asked for what I needed. God called you, my church, to come help me. I had surgery, a double mastectomy. I didn't want to be home alone, so God sent Heidi, hi Heidi, who was between housing and really needed a place to stay too. So God did a two-for-one that time. He helped her, and he helped me. We were both blessed. Next was chemo. And Robin came with me, and she sat 3 hours through my first one to make sure there was no side effects. Oh, sorry. So there were no side effects. All went really well with treatments, but now I was out of work, and Heidi had found a house, and I was home alone with the cat. Oh, yeah, and I still had God. And I had radiation still to go. I finished 2023 finishing radiation, and I went back to work on December 26, 2024. I still had chemo one every 3 weeks, and the last one was on July 3rd. Through all of this, I had my small group friends at church, I had my Bible study at church, and I was always able to vent and get love from my church family. You've been wonderful. But I made my foundation God. I learned that you are wonderful, and when I call, you are there. But at night, when I'm home, and my old deaf and blind cat doesn't even know I'm there, I still have God. The cancer journey doesn't really end. I have to take medications for the next 10 years. But I have God forever. And now I'm going to read a poem some of you have heard already, but this was the poem I wrote before my last chemo and where I was then. I was thrown in the deep, the water lapping over my head. Do I sink and surrender, or do I just start swimming? I am swimming. I am moving. The fog is thick. I am alone. God, I need help. I can't do this alone. I hear splashing of the water, and slowly into sight comes a friend in a kayak. There is no room for me to board, and she has lost her home port and knows not which way to go. So together, in the deep, I hold the kayak, and we watch the stars to guide us home. My strength returns, and her path is made clear. I say, go ahead. I will be there soon. I am swimming. Kayaks come to check on me, and they go. I am not alone. I am swimming. The fog clouds my sight. I am alone. I am swimming. God, how long is this road? I am swimming. I see the shore. I stop swimming. I am floating. I see the shore. I am floating. I'm afraid. All I have done is swim. I don't remember how to walk on the shore. I am floating. Do I sink and surrender, or do I just start swimming? I see the shore. I am swimming. Thank you.
I am thankful for the depth of character that can be found in just this church alone. From what we just heard from Jen is just the tip of the iceberg of everything that I have experienced in this church. You don't have to go very far to find a hand or a hug to really hear a story of how God was able to overcome things in so many lives in this church. The fact that we have basically single-handedly supported a village in Guatemala that only a handful of us have seen ourselves is a testament to that. But there is an extreme depth of character, and that comes from living and surviving really hard times. There are many different stories, different kinds of stories in this church, but they're here nonetheless. And if you are new, or if there is someone new, it doesn't take very long to learn that the love that we show for each other is just an outpouring of the love that has been poured on top of us. So I'm very thankful for the character that this church possesses.
All right, Chris.
I'm thankful, first of all, for 18 months of sobriety that I reached last week. I'm incredibly thankful for a team of men that I work with every single day that entrust their lives to me and that I entrust my life to them. I couldn't do it without them, and I'm just so grateful for that. I'm grateful that I've been able to recover from the incredible pain and suffering of a divorce. I'm grateful for the healing of a torn rotator cuff and labrum that I've been working on daily for over a year. And I'm thankful for the restoration of my career that I basically lost due to alcoholism, and God gave it back to me. Those are some things that I'm thankful for today. I've done a lot of work over the last 18 months, every single day, and a lot of soul work, a lot of prayer, a lot of meditation, a lot of reading. And recently, actually about 2 weeks ago, I was praying and I just had a really good prayer session with God. It was just something that went beautifully. And I was talking to God. I'm like, look, I'm doing all this stuff. It just can't be for me. At the time, I've been doing a lot of things for myself, a lot of work on myself. And my prayer was, this can't just be for me. I'm asking to use what you've been teaching me. And the next morning, I woke up to a text from a friend that said, hey, I know somebody that I think you should talk to. Can I give them your number? And then another text from the same person. Never mind, I'm doing it anyway. And I thought that made me chuckle. I was like, okay. And the answer to that text was yes, give them my number. Later in the morning, I had met my sponsor, and we were talking, and we had a great meeting that morning. And we were in a public place, and he left, and I stuck around for a minute. And when I was leaving, this woman came up to me and she said, hey, I overheard your whole conversation. She said, I'm a Christian, my father's in AA, and I'm a child of Al-Anon, and I understand the program. And she's like, I'm a real estate investor, and I just bought an 18-unit building in Biddeford, and I want to turn it into a women's sober house, a Christian women's sober house. And I was like, you know what? I happen to know a man that runs a men's Christian sober house, and I gave her his number. And I was just grateful I had the opportunity to connect these two individuals. I don't think that was random at all. And later on in the day, Scott said, hey, would you speak about gratitude today? And I said, yes. And then my other friend, Scott, that day said, hey, would you speak at a treatment center in a couple days? And I said, yes. And then later on that day, there was a guy that I just kind of piled onto my heart as far as needing a sponsor in the program. And I went up to him and I said, I would like to be your sponsor because I think I can help you. And he said, yes. That all happened on one day. And I'm like, okay, I get it. All right, just keep doing what I'm doing and say yes when things happen. And I'm grateful for that. You know, but what if I was still drowning in alcoholism? What if I was still buried in pain from a divorce? What if my rotator cuff and labrum didn't heal? What if I had lost my job permanently? Does that change who God is? Does that change his love for me? Does it change my salvation? His mercy, his grace, it doesn't change anything. He doesn't change. I'm doing well right now, and it is well with my soul. And I love when I can say that, because I can't say that always. But today I can. And when I can, I do. But there will be suffering in the future. There will be more loss. But God doesn't change. And even though I'm grateful for the things that I mentioned today, I'm really grateful that my salvation is secure, that I have a God who loves me endlessly, that will be there for me no matter what through his grace and his mercy. And for that, I am eternally grateful.
Hey, I have a deal for you. All of those of you who are like, no, I'm not speaking into that mic. Here's the deal. Take out your phone. Take it out. Pull it out right now. I'm going to give you my number, and you're going to text me one sentence. I am thankful for. Got it? All right, ready? Type in 207-400-2481. Okay, 207-400-2481. And that includes you guys who are watching at home. Got it? You can text me while we're doing this next song. Tell me what you're thankful for, and I will read some of those.
All right, I'm gonna say something too, because I have a microphone in front of me, and that would be really bad if I didn't say what I was thankful for. But I'm hesitant because I don't want to start crying before I sing, like Katie just said. But you know, it's. It's been a hard year for us, for our family, and just thankful for the church, for how you all supported us in every way, with your friendship, with financial support. As you can imagine, what we went through is quite a financial toll. And all right, I gotta stop. But anyway, I thank you all for all of your support and for your friendship. And especially those two right there.
All right. Wow, look at you guys go. My goodness. Ella, I am thankful for the treatment team that helped me live a functional and better life at home. We're thankful for that too. And I'm thankful for your transparency and your desire to help others by sharing your story. You're awesome, girl. I love that. And Katie, I'm thankful for having my daughter back home. Yeah, we all missed you. Heidi Sprague, you already talked, Heidi. Tom did yours. Heidi says she's thankful for me. Thank you, Heidi. That's nice. Stacy, ladies connection sisters. Those relationships we have in our family. Seth, I'm thankful for the strength of my marriage. Yeah, it's awesome. Somebody I don't have in my phone book. Thankful for life, because life comes from God. Who said that? Who don't I have? Phil, way back there. Thanks for sharing that, Phil. Peter, Rena, I'm thankful for all of you to be part of God's family. Another not in my book yet. I'm thankful for my family unit and the ability to provide for my family. Who's that? Might have been somebody online. Ah, it's back there. Thank you, Adam. Jerry, I'm thankful. Jerry Chastain over here. I'm thankful that we don't eat minnows in our mac and cheese. Now, this is an inside joke from our life group that has this ongoing chat all weekend long of random things. And this week we had a picture that Jerry shared, or was it you? Yeah, it was you. A picture of mac and cheese with minnows, fish heads in it. And we were all like, ew, no. Nina said, thankful for the gift of eternal life from my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope if you're new with us here this morning, you're getting a sense of that. Let's move on to Roland back there, and then I'll finish the rest of these.
I'm very grateful that 3 years ago, God put it upon my heart to get in touch with a man that I dated in college. I had lost touch with him years before. And I found out through looking for him on the internet that he had passed away of brain cancer 3 years prior to that. So I attempted to get a hold of his family, and I found his sister. She happened to be driving from upstate New Hampshire somewhere down to her home in New Hampshire in the lower part. We talked the whole time she drove home. I cried through the whole conversation. She said, he never stopped loving you. I said, I never stopped loving him. So I got in touch with his mother and his younger brother. They welcomed me to come down and visit. So I went down, started visiting with her. She's delightful, as she was then. So I go down 4 or 5 times a year to Manchester, New Hampshire to visit her. I always bring her flowers. I said, I'm sorry, it can't be him. I'll have to fill in as best I can. I was invited to her 95th birthday party last Saturday. And her son said, I'm not sure if you want to come. It's only going to be family and her church friends. I said, I'd love to come. He said, well, she's invited you and I'm inviting you. I said, I'm leaving in 5 minutes. I went down. I went down there and he said, I'm not sure you're going to spend much time with my mother because she's got so many people here. I said, that's okay. I found her. We talked. We hugged. I kissed her. I said, happy birthday. And I proceeded to think about all the people that I knew in the family. And I said, the one I really want to speak to is his cousin. And they said, she's here. She lives in Utah. And she came back for her aunt's 95th birthday. So I spoke to her. She hugged me. She said, let's exchange addresses and phone numbers. I want to keep in touch with you. I spent the next 2 hours crying with everybody. One guy came up to me, one of the cousins, and said, do you remember his El Camino? I said, yep, I remember the station wagon that broke down that had no reverse before he got the El Camino. And I said, he asked me if I wanted to go pick up the El Camino with him. So yeah, I've been there for the beginning. It's awesome. We traded
when,
stories.
God provides us with reconnections. With that reconnection that you have, what a blessing that is.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. And
I'm glad you shared that with us, that thanks that you have for that reestablished relationship. Anybody else before we sing, or do we have somebody coming up? The next slide is coming up. Oh, Lynn's coming up. Anybody else want to share while Lynn comes up to speak to us.
I should be very sickly, poor, and alone, living in a back of a rooming house, and I'm not.
You're not.
I have family. I have friends. I have a house and a car fully paid for. I have a good, comfortable retirement. And I'm still healthy enough at 82 to go kayaking. This is indeed the truth, the way, and the life. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Lynn and Randy, yes. Thank you guys for sharing. Lynn and Randy are standing up here. You might not have had the opportunity to meet these fine people yet, but I hope you will. And now we'll hear from Lynn and Randy, maybe. Or are you there for moral support?
Well, he's here to, in case I can't finish my story. So I'm Lynn, and this is my husband, Randy. We are new to Maine. We moved here in January of this year from North Carolina. Hence the accent, you'll recognize that. But on our way home from church last week, after Scott had mentioned he would be passing the mic around for people to say what they are thankful for, I said to Randy, and I quote, "I'm not sure that I will go to church next week because I would die if Scott asked me to stand up and talk." Randy, being not a public speaker himself, he agreed, and our conversation turned to what we were going to do that day. I knew Randy was not going to be thrilled with what I had planned, but I held my breath and told him anyway. I wanted to rearrange furniture. Now, being married for 34 years, I already knew what his reaction would be. For being married to me for those same 34 years, he has had to move furniture many, many, many times. And so after he jokingly grumbled about what he had to do, I joked and said, "You know what? I am going to go to church next Sunday, and I'm going to follow in Scott's mother's footsteps and say, I am thankful for a husband that grumbles when I ask him to move furniture, for that means I have furniture to move." But I am not a public speaker, so you can imagine my panic when I received the text from Scott asking if I would speak at church today. So as I sat there panicking and ran the usual excuses through my head, "I'm not feeling well, we'll be out of town, I wonder how quickly I can fake my own death," I knew my answer would be yes. Because outside of my family, one of the things I'm most thankful for is what God can do when you allow yourself to step out of your comfort zone. Several years ago, Jason, the pastor of the church we were attending, wanted to take a group of people to Syracuse, New York, to support a pastor that had a ministry on a street that was well known for gang activity, illegal drug and sex activities, plus the church building he had purchased was directly across the street from a strip club. My initial thought was that sounded like a great trip for someone else. What did I have that I could possibly offer in that situation? So when Jason asked if Randy and I would be interested in going, even though I needed to be going on that trip, I also knew I would be out of my comfort zone, and my response was, I would go if Randy would go, and I would ask him and let him know. But as I walked away, I knew there was no way Randy was going to say yes. But much to my dismay, Randy said, "Sure, I will go." So I knew there was no turning back. I knew I had to tell Jason yes, but I also knew that I had to tell him about my fear of not having the right words and not knowing when to say the right words at a given moment. I'm not very good at speaking on the spot. It takes some time for me to say what I want to say, so that was my biggest fear. So Jason advised me just to pray about it and ask God to give me the right words when I needed it. So I did, and I truly believed it would happen. And as with most mission trips, I found that God not only takes the opportunity to work through us, he also takes the opportunity to work within us. On the night we arrived in Syracuse, I texted our daughters and said, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm totally out of my comfort zone, and we hadn't even left the safety of the church we were staying in. But after a good night's sleep and the light of day, sleeping in a creepy dark church and taking a shower in a janitor's closet didn't feel quite as overwhelming as it did the night before. Plus, being the only female on the trip, I was gifted something I had never had before, my own personal bathroom. Well, of course, that was until Randy realized he was married to the only person, the only female on the trip. That morning, as we arrived to the church for the first day of work, the pastor of that church said, before we even begin, I want you to know that you're not here to fix the problems of the people you meet. You are not here to change them. You're not here to save them. You only do what the Lord has called you to do, and that is to love them. Leave the rest up to God. If they need to be fixed or changed or saved, God will do that. In that moment, I felt at ease. I knew I could definitely love people, respect them, accept them for who they are, and not judge them for what their current situation is. Easy peasy. I began to feel more comfortable with my role, and I was glad I was there until the last night. Here's where the tears come, sorry. The men went to a local restaurant to fellowship together while the women stayed at the church to do the same. While we were there, there was a knock on the door. The pastor's teenage daughter recognized the person knocking as a boy from her school. He had attended a fellowship group meeting the church had held and had also accepted one of the Bibles they were giving away. She was excited that he had taken the next step to show up at the church, so she unlocked the door. However, the conversation quickly took a turn, and I knew that he was not there to be part of that church. He was there to challenge us, make us feel threatened, and make us question our faith. So seeing that she began to feel uncomfortable, the mama bear and me stepped forward to protect her. He then began challenging me, firing scripture and questions faster than I could think or respond. My worst fear was coming true. I thought I didn't have the words that I needed at the moment. I became frightened and frustrated. And then I said, you know what? I believe in God our Father, Jesus his Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe in his goodness and his faithfulness. And that's all I need to know right now. And even though you seem to have another agenda here tonight, God still loves you and so do I. That seemed to stop him in his tracks. He stopped talking, stared at me very hard as if he was staring through my soul, but he walked away. I was thankful he was gone, but I was shaken. I was not only shaken by the confrontation of this person, I was also shaken by the fact that he seemed to know scripture and the Bible better than I did. I thought I was strong in my understanding of God's word and teachings, but I realized I was not. I was strong in my faith, but not strong in the understanding of why I had that faith. I also questioned God as to why it seemed he didn't give me the answers or the words I needed at the time I needed it, even though I had prayed for that. Over the next week, I beat myself up over these thoughts. Then at church the next Sunday, as we were worshiping through song, and as I listened to the lyrics of Lord, I Need You by Matt Mayer, I began praying the words of the song, Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And then I heard the words, my one defense, my righteousness. It was then I realized that God had not forgotten my prayers, but that he was telling me all I needed was him. And when I spoke his name and my faith in him, I was protected. He was all I needed. I didn't need to rely on my own understanding. I only needed to rely on him. He was and still is my one defense. And I'm thankful to know that all I have to do is live as I have been called to live, and I simply love and let God handle the rest. Thank you.
Now, you joked for a moment about it being like a Catholic church. Get ready. Get ready. Stand up if you have ever helped with worship services, music, sound, PowerPoint, setup, speaking, etc. Stand up. All right. Bill's not standing up. Stand up. Stand up. Good. We're so thankful for you. Sit down. All right, stand up if you've taught a class, hosted a group in your house, like a life group or something like that. Nice, nice. We're thankful for you. Sit down. You've helped with the children, nursery, kids' time, any of that stuff, the Christmas pageant. That's awesome. Great. We're thankful for you. Yeah, stand up if you've helped with cleaning, building, maintaining, indoors or out. Look at this. Look at this. Thank you. Thank you. All right, then you can sit down. The next one, you have welcomed and helped with hospitality. Ruth is standing up in her heart because she thanks every week and helps. Thank you. We appreciate you. You've helped feed people, open door kitchen, volunteers, pantry, cookouts. You've baked stuff. You've cooked a turkey. You've done all that. Oh, man, thank you so much. Thank you. Sit down. How about this? You've given support, whether you've brought in food or given a check or you've contributed. You've done something. You've given. You've supported. We're so thankful for you. Sit down. All right. How about this? You've helped with administration, maybe your leadership team, your our glue over here, Shara, keeping everything together and doing slides and all that stuff. Thank you. We appreciate you. You have prayed. Stand up. All right. You've prayed for us. We appreciate that. Thank you. Sit down. All right. And the last one, the last one. You've shown up. You're here today, and before we sing this last song, I want to read this to you. It comes from Philippians chapter 1. Every time I think of you, and I love this because it's how I feel, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from now, from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. What a team, what a family God has built here. And I am so thankful. A few more things to share with you because we're so thankful. Natasha, thankful for the ability to finish the semester at SMCC. We've got Kim Tarbox. I'm thankful for my family, friends, my church family. Every bonus day that I get to spend with them. Nicole Netto, I'm thankful for my children and their joy to see me when I walk in the door. Do you know that's the joy your Father has for you, your Heavenly Father, when you come to Him? That's God's reflection in us. I'm thankful for my husband and the way we work together as a team. I'm thankful for my children, our new home, my sobriety, and most of all, my newfound church family. As a single mother of four, a loving, lonely individual, I need you all. Is that you, Taylor? Yeah, thanks, Taylor. I love that you shared that with us. And Jake Groom, I'm thankful for the amazing people in my life, the example of steadfast faith of both my grandmothers who loved the Lord and ran the race with unshakable faith and love, the people God has put in my life, like my incredible wife, her amazing mother, and her bald father. My parents and their dedication to serving. Thanks, Jake. Seth Whiting, I'm thankful for my wife, my kids, my house, my dog, my jobs, my church. I'm too blessed to list everything. Yeah, thanks, Seth. Another one, loved ones, family, friends, partner, pets who bring joy, support to life, health, well-being, physical and mental health, access to health care, personal strength, personal freedoms, your passions. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. I don't know who sent this, but thank you. It's 207-402-09. Maybe you were online. But thank you, because that's a long list of thankfulness. And this one, I am thankful the Lord Jesus Christ will always provide and meet all my needs. I do not know how this can be. Thanks for that. Sherry Whiting, today I'm thankful for the love from my four grandparents who poured into their kids and their grandkids. They taught me so much, and they were an example that I strive for. I'm thankful I get to be with them again someday. Nice, Sherry. You get says, I'm thankful because God gave me a family, which is this church. My big thanks is my blood pressure is stable now since I gave thanks to Dean. We've been praying for that. Angel says, I'm thankful for FBC, my amazing marriage, my son finding his way to happiness, my family friendship, especially the Dailies, and Jesus. After so much heartache, my heart is full again. You know, that's what we're talking about here, is that Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, that you would have it abundantly. Let's stand together, pray, and go out and have an awesome Thanksgiving this week. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. You have clearly been faithful in our church family. I'm thankful for each of the people who have shared
there
this morning.
So many
Lord,
songs
might
about
we continue to just be thankful for each of the things that pour into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.